Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is a prayer for the nation. A prayer for the nation. Three thoughts. Daniel's example. Daniel's confession. Daniel's petition. A prayer for the nation. Three points of attention. Daniel's example. Daniel's confession. Daniel's petition. So, first, Daniel's example. We have read that prayer of Daniel here, Daniel 9. But why did he pray? What moved him to utter these words and to send them to the heavenly throne? It is an impressive prayer. And it wasn't a national day of prayer. So what did move him? Well, there are several reasons. The first reason, and even the young people among us, they know this, that Daniel was used to pray three times a day. We all know this very well-known text, Daniel 6 and verse 10. Daniel went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel prayed three times a day. How important it is for us to pray. And to do so at regular times each day. The Lord himself prayed often. Whole nights he was praying to his Father. He is the Son of God. And still he prayed. Prayer is our lifeline to the heavenly realms, to God's heavenly palace, to his throne, to Christ the mediator. Prayer is like the outbreath of our spiritual breathing, the outbreath. And when prayer increases, there will be fruit in our life. Because there is spiritual life. There is eternal life. When prayer decreases, our faith will become weak and small. And there will be fewer or even no fruits at all. In our life, our spiritual lives dies. Therefore, prayer is an essential part of the Christian life. We can't live without prayer. We need prayer. But there is a second reason why Daniel is praying here. Daniel is reading, studying, and meditating upon the word of God. That's the second reason he prays here. We read in verse 2 the following words. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, biblical books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He was studying Bible books and especially Jeremiah. Daniel, that wise man, here at a very high age, still studying the word of God. meditating upon it and storing it in his heart. How important it is for us not only to pray, but also to read the Word of God. And to do so often. And not only to read, but to study it. And not only to study it, but meditate upon it. And not only to meditate upon it, but to learn it. And not only to learn it, to store it in our hearts, so it will have influence, profound influence on our words and deeds, our entire life. The Lord himself studied the Word of God, even though he was the Son of God. The Word of God is another lifeline to the heavenly throne room. Because in that Word of God, God reveals himself and his will. And we need to know his will. Isn't it? We can't live as a Christian without knowing the will of our Heavenly Father. So we need to study the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is as the in-breath of our spiritual breathing. To pray is the out-breath, because we speak to God. What a privilege that is. But to read and to study the Word of God is like the in-breath of our spiritual breathing. We can't without it. And therefore, prayer and studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, are closely related to each other. They are like twins. They go together. One can't without the other. Let us resolve from this day on to spend more time individually as a congregation in prayer and in God's Word. We can't without. There was even a third reason why Daniel prayed. It was the habit of his prayer. It was the habit of him reading the Word of God. But there is a third reason. Daniel was keeping a close eye on the world around him. And he did so with an open word. And he did so praying. We are citizens of a nation. We live here in this world. So we should watch what is happening around us. The immediate reason for Daniel to utter this impressive prayer was that Darius, also called Cyrus, had become king over Babylon. This was the first reason. The Babylonian Empire was overthrown by the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel knew scriptures because he was studying scripture all the time, and especially the prophet Jeremiah. And he knew Jeremiah 25 and 29 by heart. And in Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, and 29, verse 10, we read that God had promised through Jeremiah that he would punish the king of Babylon after 70 years. And here he did punish the king of Babylon because he was overthrown. And there was another king on the throne of Babylon. And there was a second promise from God through the mouth of Jeremiah. After 70 years, he would not only punish the king of Babylon, but he would bring back Israel to their land, to Jerusalem. And so this event compelled Daniel to pray. He watched what is going on around him. He studied Scripture and he prayed. Even with greater intensity than other days, for the fulfillment of God's promise of the restoration of the people of Israel. Another lesson for us. Let us closely watch what's happening in the world around us. And let us do that with an open word. And let's do that in prayer. And let us pray for the fulfillment of the promises of God. There are so many promises in the Word of God. There is that individual promise given to us when we were baptized. But there are other promises. To give you an example, there are still promises for a further restoration of Israel. There are so many promises. Promises for the growth of the church, the worldwide growth of the church. And we also have the prophetic word. For example, the words of the Lord Jesus himself, or the book of Revelations, showing us what will unfold in the latter days, our days. So, the conclusion from Daniel's example is, let us read the Word of God. Let's pray. Because these are the lifelines to God. And they are so important for our spiritual life. And let's watch the world. Well, our second thought, Daniel's confession. And so Daniel prays this impressive prayer. Notice how he prays. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. When Daniel prays, this great man, this leader in this empire, this prophet of God, when he prays, he humbles himself. He bends his knees. And he mourns. He mourns. He behaves as one who mourns. In those days, it was the custom of mourners to fast, to cover themselves in mourning garments, and to put ashes on their heads. So that's what Daniel does here. And we see this attitude of great humility again and again in Scripture. Take, for example, King Solomon at the inauguration of the temple, the new built temple, the dedication of the new built temple. He goes publicly on his knees. He humbles himself before God. But why is there this attitude of humbleness? Why does Daniel mourn? Well, we hear in praying, verse 5, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. What an impressive prayer this is. Daniel prays for the nation and he includes himself. He doesn't say the nation has sinned or they have sinned. He says we. And we all know that Daniel is a righteous man. From very young age, he's an example of righteousness. Think about his prayer and studying Scripture and keeping himself holy in this heathen environment. But still, this holy man, this righteous man, includes himself in this prayer. We, the nation, including me, we have sinned. He uses four words, to describe the sins of the nation. First, he says, we have sinned. It's a general word for sin, chata, and that word means as much as missing the call of our life. He says, I personally and we as a nation, we missed the goal of being a nation. I missed Daniel, the goal of my life. And we all know what the goal of our life is, to glorify and praise God. He said, we missed it. We have sinned. He continues, we have committed iniquity. We have violated thy holy laws and precepts. We have violated them. He continues, we have done wickedly. We have done evil instead of good. We were supposed to be God's nation on earth and an example. But instead of bringing forth good fruits, we brought forth evil fruits. We have rebelled. In other words, we haven't honored God as our king. We honored other kings. We honored ourselves. And Daniel repeats the words later on, slightly different, in his impressive prayer. But let's go back to our time, our nation. What sins we see in our nation. And let us not easily say, oh, that's our nation. In other words, it's outside us. We, at least you, are Americans. Part of this nation. And therefore the guilt of this nation is our guilt. We can exclude ourselves from this nation. And we prayed already for it. There are so many sins in this great nation. The United States is indeed a great nation. It's indeed a leading nation worldwide. But I'm afraid it's leading in sins. We, you and I, are leading the world in sins. To give you some examples, all these murders on so many young, unborn lives. Millions and millions. What a terrible sin this is in God's eyes. And it's going on and going on. Although we know there's hopeful news and we pray for it. But still, it's going on. The terrible sin of not living up to God's standards of married life. What an example does the United States give worldwide? The sin of living in sexual lusts outside the safe boundaries of married life. And the United States gives a worldwide example. What a sin in living in a worldly way. Our life is very much prioritized not by the Word of God, not by taking up our cross, not by sacrificial love, not by following Jesus Christ, but by giving priority to our health, as if that is the most important thing of life. Is it? Our spiritual health is far more important. Or we prioritize our life by gaining wealth, influence, position, power. And the United States is giving a worldwide example of this life. And the list goes on and on am on. Being a leader worldwide gives a very high responsibility. And we are part of that nation. And our church and our denomination, what a great responsibility here individually. It starts with us. We have sinned. We have sinned. But there are more sins. Other sins. Which are here in this prayer, and they are also relevant in our days. First, verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. In other words, Daniel says, we as a nation, we didn't listen to thy word. We didn't pay attention to thy word. And again, what are we doing as a nation? Does the nation pay attention to the word of God? Again, we have sinned. We have thy word. But do we pay attention to it? And there is even more sin. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. There is no prayer. Yes, there is indeed a national prayer day, but how many people are praying? How many people in this great nation are praying for 3 times a day? What about you, your and mine prayer? This is the fourth sin. Terrible it is. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we repented, might turn from our iniquities, understand thy truth. Let's take this lesson seriously. A revival starts here, in your and mine life, in our church, not outside. It started with the help and outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but personally. How terrible were the sins in Daniel's days and that nation of Israel, but how terrible are the sins in our days. And therefore God poured out his wrath upon Israel and brought them into exile. But let's look around in our world. The Lord is pouring out his wrath upon this world. Think about that worldwide plague of COVID. Think about these dry regions in the United States. Think about the crisis in the Ukraine. Think about the economical problems. Think about the division in this country, so divided. And people don't understand each other anymore. God is giving warning after warning, chastisement after chastisement. And do we pay attention to it? Do we read newspapers, to listen to the news with an open Bible? When God is chastising this great nation, he is chastising us. We have sinned, Lord. We have sinned. Well, Daniel's petitions. The third thought, shortly. Daniel's petition. Daniel knows to whom he is praying. Verse 4b. I prayed unto the Lord, my God. Do you start your prayer like that? I pray to my covenant God in Jesus Christ, my Heavenly Father. I pray to the Lord, my God. And made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God,
God is so righteous. God must punish our individual and national sins. He can't otherwise. He's righteous. He's holy. He's great and dreadful. But then he continues, verse 4b, keeping the covenant. Keeping the covenant. Think about the United States. How many people are still covenant people? I think the majority of the people are born in the circle of the covenant. The covenant has still a huge influence. Still there is the circle of the covenant here in this nation. So we can pray to God, think about United States, thy covenant people. Although we are breaking that covenant, we broke it and we break it again. Lord, forgive. Verse 4b. Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant. He keeps his covenant, although we break it. Have mercy to them that love him. God is a righteous God. And God's righteousness has two sides. At one hand, it is his wrath. It is his chastisement. He punishes. Righteous punishment. At the other hand, his righteousness is a delivering, a saving righteousness. Look to Jesus Christ. He was punished because of our sins by God's, his Father's righteousness. But at the same time, he saved all his people. He delivered all his people by executing God's righteousness. That's why Daniel, three times in this prayer, pleads on God's righteousness. And we do so today. We say, God, show us thy righteousness. Indeed, we see thy punishments. We see thy chastisements. But please, Lord, free us from that slavery to the world and Satan and our lusts. Please, Lord, pour out your spirit in this nation, here in this congregation, in our individual life. Lord, that we may show thy holiness in this nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us go home with the intention of turning to God in repentance and faith. Let us go home with the intention to confess our sins day by day and plead on the finished work of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us go home with the intention of being persistent in reading the Word of God, studying it, meditating on it. Let us go home with the intention of being persistent in prayer, like Daniel, three times a day. And may the Holy Spirit come to our aid and help us. For we have sinned. Lord, we are sinful. We are weak. But thou art merciful in thy Son. Help us. Help our nation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank thee for bringing us here together around our word at this National Day of Prayer. Lord, we have sinned. And let us start in our own life, in our own home, wider in this congregation, wider in this nation. We have sinned. Lord, we are so heavy laden by all these sins. And there are so many warnings from thy sight. Oh Lord, open our eyes. Oh Lord, pour out thy spirit among us. That we will find forgiveness in thy Son Jesus Christ. And that we will give a godly example in this nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon this nation. Lord, hear us. When we go home, we go home different. We go home with the prayer of Daniel still resonating in our heart and mind. Lord, have mercy upon us. Not because of us, but because of who thou art. A great God, a holy God, and a merciful God in thy Son, Jesus Christ. All this in the name of your Son. Amen. And let us sing Psalter 166. Psalter 166, that's Psalm 65, the first four stanzas. Psalter 166, 166, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.